going to start from Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, from the two dots, about 18 lines down. So the Mishnah we saw yesterday told us, Ulehichan Matzilinosan. We had a machlukas at the end of the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Ben Besira regarding a case where a person is going to save a Torah from the fire on Shabbos. We had a machlukas, where exactly is one allowed to bring this Torah into? So according to the Tanakama, you're only allowed to bring it into what's called a Mavui She'eno Mefulash, which means an alleyway, basically, that is closed off. We'll have to see in a second in the Gemara what that means. Whereas according to Ben Becerra, you can even bring it into a Mavui Mefulash, you can even bring it into an open alleyway which connects to the Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara now explains. The Gemara says, Heichi Dami Mefulash, Heichi Dami She'eno Mefulash. What exactly is the definition of a closed or open alleyway? So Amar of Chista, Shalosh Mechitzos Ushnei Lechayayin, Zehu Mavui She'eno Mefulash, Gimel Mechitzos Velechi Echad, Zehu Mavui HaMefulash. So Rav Chista comes and says that when you have three walls and two lechis, again, as we'll see in this coming Gemara, this is really more of an Erevin topic, but a lechi and a korah are terms that we've touched on briefly before, but essentially there are these beams that go on top of the alleyway. There's a machlokas in the Gemara in Erevin what exactly the nature of the lechi and korah is. So a lechi is basically a horizontal beam, a korah is a vertical beam. So basically you have these beams that essentially act either as a formal mechitza, or maybe just as a hecker, as some form of recognition that you're about to leave the alleyway and exit into the Rishos HaRabim. So Rav Chista says, if my alleyway has three walls and two lechis, that's called eno mefulash. So eno mefulash means that it's closed, because mefulash means open. So eno mefulash means that it's not open, it's closed. Whereas if you only have three walls and one lechi, that's called an open alleyway, which according to the Tanakama would be problematic. And the Gemara explains, v'travayu aliba de Rav Eliezer. Both of these cases fit only according to Rabbi Eliezer. What does that mean? The Mishnah in Maseches Erevin tells us, Hechsher Mavui, Beishamay Omrim Lechi Vekora, Uvesil Omrim O Lechi O Kora, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shnei Lechayayim. There's a three-way machlokes in the Mishnah in Erevin regarding how do you know if a Mavui, if an alleyway, is fit to carry. And this is like day one of Maseches Erevin, which we're going to get to in a little bit, in a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it is. So that opening Mishnah in Erevin discusses the status of an alleyway, and the question becomes, what do you need on that alleyway to enable you to be able to carry? Because again, remember, the issue here is that the alleyway is connected to the Rishos HaRabim. So the question is, if the alleyway is considered to be closed off and like an independent entity, then you can carry there, there's no issue. But if the alleyway is considered to be connected to the Rishos HaRabim, then all of a sudden you have an issue, you have a problem of carrying. So the Mishnah presents three different opinions about what you require on this alleyway to enable you to carry. According to Beis Shammai, you need both a lechi and a korah, meaning both a vertical and a horizontal beam. According to Beis Hillel, you need either a lechi or a korah, whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, you require two lechis. So that is the shita that conforms with what we're talking about here, because again, remember, Rav Chista was the one who just told us that in order for an alleyway to qualify as a closed alleyway, you need to have three walls and two lechis. So that shita, that opinion that requires two lechis, obviously only is going to be true according to Rabbi Eliezer. So how does Gemara respond to this? Amar le'Rabba, Gimel Mechitzos Velechi Echad Mefulash Karis Leh. So Rabba responds to Rav Chista and says, hang on one second. If my alleyway has three walls and one lechi, how can you possibly call that an open alleyway? It's physically closed on three sides. The fourth side has a lechi, which at least according to one opinion in the Gemara and Erevin, is halachically considered like a fourth wall, which basically means that the alleyway is completely closed off. So Rabba says, how could Rav Chista possibly say that an alleyway with three walls and one lechi is called open? Like, what else is called closed if that's called open? That is considered that's halakhically.
Are they saying this closed alleyway is there?
So, well, basically, yes, because if once you close off the alleyway, you essentially make it into a Rishos Hayachid, whereas when it's open, it's kind of like, it's more like a Carmelis, where it's gonna transition into a Rishos HaRabim. So the first question that Rabbi has on Rav Chista is, if this is called open, then what's called closed? And he says, furthermore, l'Rabbanan natzil l'socha ochlenu mashkin. And according to the Rabbanan, again, remember, the context of the mission that we saw yesterday, Saturday was that you're allowed to salvage, let's say, you know, a Sefer Torah or Tefillin that were caught in the fire on Shabbos. The question is, in other words, if this is really a closed alleyway, if this is truly a Rishos Hayachid, why are we limiting, you know, the things that we can salvage to Sifrei Torah and Tefillin? You should be able to save whatever you want, save food, save drinks. It's just a Rishos Hayachid, right? There's nothing wrong with carrying anything in a Rishos Hayachid on Shabbos. So why then does the Mishnah tell us that, you know, you can only save a Sefer Torah or Tefillin on Shabbos? You should be allowed to save whatever you want. So how does Rabbah respond to these problems? Ella Amar Rabbah, Shtei Mechitzos U'Shnei L'Chayayin Zehu Mavui She'inu Mefulash, Shtei Mechitzos V'Lech Yechad Zehu Mavui Mefulash. So in other words, Rabbah now gives you a different definition of what's called an open and closed alleyway. He says, if the alleyway has two walls and two lechis, that's called Eino Mefulash. In other words, that's considered to be closed. Whereas if you have two walls and one lechi, that's open. So in other words, he's basically downgrading, you know, one wall from Rav Chista, because Rav Chista said, three walls and two lechis is considered closed, three walls and one lechi is open. Rabbah says, that makes no sense. So he says, you're right. He says, two walls and two lechis is closed, two walls and one lechi is considered open. And the Gemara says, v'travayu aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. And again, both of these definitions conform with Rabbi Yehuda. Desanya, yeser al kein amar Rabbi Yehuda, mi sheyeshlo shnei batim, we actually cited this Gemara way back on Davav. It also comes up again in Erevin, that if you have two houses on two opposite ends of a Rishus HaRabim, Osa Lechi Mikan V'Lechi Mikan, Okora Mikan V'Kora Mikan, V'Nosein Ba'emsa. According to Reb Yehuda, if you have two houses on two opposite ends of a Rishus HaRabim, all you have to do is make a Lechi or a Kora on both sides of the Rishus HaRabim, and then you would be allowed to carry back and forth between each house, because essentially what you're doing is you're making that area into a Rishus Hayachid. So how do the Rabbanah respond to this? Amru lo, they say, no, ain ma'arvin Rishus HaRabim b'chach. They say, that doesn't make any sense, and we know, la halacha, we do not accept this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because we assume that the whole concept of an Eruv makes no sense in an actual Rishus HaRabim. This is one of the big controversies about making an Eruv in Manhattan and Brooklyn and, you know, places that have, you know, very significant populations. So we assume, la halacha, that if a place actually qualifies as a Rishus HaRabim, which again is debatable how to define a Rishus HaRabim, that's a big machlokas in the Rishonim, but if a place really qualifies as a real Rishus HaRabim, we assume that you can't put up an Eruv. So if I have two houses on opposite ends of a Rishus HaRabim, then according to the Rabbanan, it's always going to be usher to carry back and forth between those two houses. So the Gemara now continues, Amar le Abaye, l'didach nami l'rabbana natzel l'socha ochlenu mashkin. So Abaye pushes back against Rabbah. So Abaye says to Rabbah, listen, you've answered your first question in terms of, you know, what else is considered to be a closed alleyway if three walls and a lechi is not, but you haven't answered your second question, because remember, Rabbah's second question against Rav Chista was, well, then why can't I save anything? Why can't I save food and drink also? He says, you haven't addressed that problem, because again, our Mishnah only said that you're allowed to save a Torah and Tefillin from the fire, but why can't I save everything? If this really is considered a closed off alleyway, I should be allowed to save whatever I want. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Shalosh mechitzos v'lech yechad zemavui she'enu mefulash. Gimel mechitzos below lechi zehu mavui hamefulash. Now we have a third definition of an open and closed alleyway. Comes Rav Ashi and says that if I have three walls and one lechi, that's called a closed alleyway. But if I have three walls without a lechi at all, that's called an open alleyway. And the Gemara points out va'afilu l'Rav Eliezer de'amar bo'ina l'chayayim. Even Rav Eliezer, who we cited back on Amud Aleph, who says that you require two lechis, hanim. So now the Gemara is starting to answer our question, because now the Gemara is telling us that in reality you are allowed to save whatever you want on Shabbos if it's a closed alleyway. You can save the food and drinks also. However, there is a slight difference in terms of the standard. So in other words, when it comes to saving food and drink, which are not, you know, which are not dvarim shebekdusha, so those types of things you actually require, you know, at least according to Rebbe Eliezer, you require two lechis in order to be able to call a closed alleyway. However, if you want to salvage your tefillin or a Sefer Torah on Shabbos, for example, so then Rabbi Eliezer will concede that one lechi is sufficient. So in other words, again, these are obviously all dinim de Rabbanan. So, you know, the Rabbanan have the right to kind of adjust their halachos in different scenarios. So when it comes to a Torah or tefillin, so Rabbi Eliezer will tell you one lechi is sufficient, whereas when it comes to saving things like food and drink, you are allowed to save those on Shabbos also. It's just that there's a little bit of a higher standard. You just require two lechis according to Rabbi Eliezer, as opposed to just one. Okay.
Food and drink is saving.
Okay, so that's gonna be the next Gemara. The next Gemara that we're about to do now is gonna discuss, you know, saving meals on Shabbos, and that's kind of a separate point. Here the Gemara is just talking about saving food and drink in general, just saving, you know, just salvaging food. The Gemara now is gonna get into more specifics about how this relates to Shabbos. Okay, so the Mishnah now continues. Matzilun mazon gimel sudos harai la'adam la'adam harai levehema levehema. So a person on Shabbos is permitted to salvage enough food to eat three meals, which is what you have to eat throughout the course of Shabbos. And the Mishnah says you could save, you know, food for people, you could save animal food as well. So Ketzad, what's the case here? Nafla deleka balele Shabbos matzilin mazon gimel sudos b'shach. Matzilin mazon gimel sudos. So if the fire breaks out Friday night, you could save enough food for three meals. B'shachris matzilin mazon beis sudos. If the fire breaks out Shabbos morning, you could save enough food for two meals. And then b'mincha mazon sudachas. If it breaks out in the afternoon, you could save enough food just for that one meal for shalosh shudos. Rabbi Yossi omer la'ola matzilin mazon shalosh shudos. Rabbi Yossi says no, you can always salvage enough food for three meals, regardless of what time of day the fire breaks out on Shabbos. So the Gemara now explains.
Michti. What's the issue here?
We'll see.
You can't serve all your food, save everything, all your food.
What was that?
Even if it's for the next 2 weeks.
So, yeah, so we'll see in a second. The opening question of the Gemara is going to be, well, why can't I just save everything? You know, the food is not muktzah. There's nothing wrong with the food itself. So the Gemara is about to ask that question right now. Yeah. So the Gemara says, michti, behetiro katarach, natil tvei, which is exactly what Billy was just asking. Why not just save more food? Meaning, food is not muktzah. There's nothing wrong with carrying the food per se. So why can't I salvage even more than the three meals? So Amar Rava, he says, no, mitoch she'adam b'hol al-mamono, isharis le'asi l'chabuye. Rava says that the concern was, if we start to let you salvage more food, you're going to start to try and grab every last thing you have in your fridge, and the fear is you know that you may come to extinguish the fire. So it was a gzera derabanan. You know, again, obviously this is all, you know, bisman hagemara, as we pointed out in the beginning of this parak. Bisman hazeh, when a fire breaks out, we just assume it's sakana and you have to be mechal Shabbos and put it out. But bisman hagemara, when, you know, the houses were farther apart and there was only really a danger to your possessions, not to life, so it would be a problem to extinguish that fire. And if we let you start saving more and more food, there's a fear that you may eventually come to put out that fire. So Amar Le,
I would think, I'm not a psychologist or okay, a psychiatrist, but I would think almost the exact opposite.
Why?
If I know I can go in while the fire is burning and save everything that I can, fine, I'll try and save as much as I can. If I'm saying I can't save more than anything, and I really, you know, think it's important to me, I guess
the psychology could really go either way. That's it's kind of what the Gemara is saying here, right?
Let's ask her to help us out with that. His brother's a psychiatrist.
Okay.
He's hiding underneath the desk.
What?
Okay. Again, I don't know. The Gemara psychology seems to be assuming that, you know, the more we let you stay, the longer we let you stay there, the more likely you are to put out the fire. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Amar le'abaye, Elo hadesanya. So we have a brisa that we quoted back in Daf Membeis. Nishbaro lo chavis berosh gago mevi kli umeniach tachteha uvelvad shelo yavi kli acher v'yiklo kli acher v'yitzarif. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. The Brisa told us earlier that, let's say I have a barrel on my roof on Shabbos, the barrel breaks, and now all the contents, the wine, let's say, is starting to spill out of the barrel. So I can take another kli and I can put it underneath to salvage whatever wine is coming out of the barrel. However, what I cannot do is to go out and go find some other kli, let's say, and, you know, bring it from somewhere else. Or I can't, let's say, for example, attach a kli to the bottom of the barrel, right? In other words, in all of these cases, what I'm essentially doing is, right, is that, you know, it almost looks like I'm allowing the wine to flow into this new kli. So therefore, I can't attach a kli to the barrel, but if I just have a stam kli that I put underneath the barrel, I can use that to salvage the wine. So the Gemara says, well, what's the gzera here? There's no concern that I'm going to, like, put out a fire. So the question is, why can't I attach a kli to the bottom of the barrel to salvage all of the wine? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hachanami gzera shema yavi kli derech rishus harabim. The Gemara says, no, there's also a problem midrabanan here, because the second that we start to allow you to attach a kli to the bottom of a barrel on Shabbos to salvage the contents of the barrel, who knows, maybe you'll come to carry it through the rishus harabim on Shabbos. So that's also potentially problematic. Okay, so the Gemara now says Gufa Nishpura Lo Chavis Berosh Gago Mevi Kli Umeniach Tachteh Uvilvad Shelo Yavi Kliacher Viyiklo Kliacher Viyatzar. So that's the Gemara that we just quoted, that I could put a kli underneath to salvage the wine, but I can't attach a kli to the bottom of the barrel. However, the Gemara says Nizdami Lo Orchin Mevi Kliacher Vekole Kliacher Mitzarev Velo Yiklo Vachar Kach Yasmin Ela Yasmin Vachar Kach Yiklo Vein Marimin Bechach Bishem Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Amru Marimin. So the Gemara says as follows. If I'm going to have more guests over and I realize that I need more wine, and in other words, just putting a regular kli underneath a barrel would only salvage a little bit of the wine, but now I want to attach a kli to the bottom to salvage even more wine. So normally we said you can't do that midrabanan because we're afraid that you may come to carry it throughout the Rishos HaRabim. But if you're going to have more guests coming over, the Gemara says then it would be permissible to do. However, the Gemara presents a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda about what's called ha'arama. Ha'arama is a concept that appears many, many places throughout Shas, which essentially means trickery. In other words, am I allowed to manipulate the system in such a way where I almost like pretend like I'm having more guests over? In other words, let's say, for example, my barrel of wine broke, and then all of a sudden I start calling 10 guys over to my house to come and drink wine, so this way I can justify, you know, using the bigger kli or attaching the kli to the barrel to salvage more wine. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether that's permissible. According to the Tanakama, you're not allowed to do that. According to the Tanakama, the only time you can actually use this bigger kli and attach it to the barrel is if me'ikara, is if from the outset you were having all these extra guests over and you really needed the wine. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, he says no, it's not true. He says if you want to do ha'aram, if you want to pull some shtick and you want to call some more people over afterwards, that's fine. That's also okay. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. So the Gemara says what's the root of the machlokas here? Lema beflukta de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua kumiflukta. Seemingly this is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Desanya oso vias benosha naflu lavor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Maleh Asarishon Amenas LaShochdo VaHasheni Oselo Parnasa BeMekomo BeShvil Shelo Yamas. Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Maleh Asarishon Amenas LaShochdo VeEino Shochdo UMa'arim UMaleh Asasheni Rotsa ZeShochid Rotsa ZeShochid. So the Gemara says this machlokas that we just cited, but here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda regarding whether I can do ha'aram, I can do trickery, and I can invite the people post facto once the barrel has already broken, seems to be the same machlokas that appears in Maseches Chulin regarding a halacha known as Osovia. Osovias bino means, right, the Torah tells us in Parshat Emor, Osovias bino lo sishchatu biyom echad. There's an isser de oraisa to shecht a mother and her child animal on the same day. It's an isser de oraisa. So the question becomes, what happens if the mother and the child both fall into a pit? And again, this is on Shabbos. So the question is, am I allowed to go now and save one or both or neither of those animals on Shabbos? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says you save the first animal and have in mind that you're going to shecht that animal after Shabbos, obviously, and then the second animal, you have to leave it in the pit, and you just have to throw food down and feed it, and you know, basically make sure that it doesn't die. And then after Shabbos, you can save it. Whereas Rabbi Yehoshua says no. Rabbi Yehoshua says what you can do is you could pick up the first animal and have in mind, okay, I'm going to shecht this one. Then after you pull it out, you don't actually shecht it. Then you pull out the second animal, and then you can figure out which one you want to shecht. So in other words, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, you can employ what's called ha'arama. You can do trickery because essentially you're almost like pretending as if you're going to shecht the first animal when in reality, in other words, you just decide later on which animal you want to shecht. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says, no, you can only pull that animal out of the pit if that's the one you're planning to shecht, right? In other words, if that's not the one you want to shecht, so then you would not be allowed to pull it out of the pit. So the Gemara says, this machlokas regarding Osovias Bino in Maseches Chulin seems to be the same question here in our Gemara regarding whether or not we're allowed to invoke ha'arama. We can invoke trickery. So the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe these two cases are not exactly... Yeah.
Rabbi, yeah. Becker, yeah. The Hans Gromlob says that this happened on Yom Tov, and you were going to check this animal on Yom
Tov. I think you're right about that. Yeah, correct. You're right about that. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. For what? For Osovias Bino? That's what we're trying to figure out right now. We're still in the middle of this Gemara. Well, hang on one second. We'll see. Okay, so again, we're trying to compare the case of Osovias Bino on Yontif to the case of salvaging the wine from the barrel on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that is not necessarily a good comparison. Why? Mimai Dilma Ad Kan Lo Ka'amar Rabbi Eliezer Hasam De Efshar Bifarnasa Aval Hacha De Lo Efshar Lo. So on the one hand, you can argue that in the case of Osovias Bino, let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right? So he says that there is a possibility of sustaining this animal, right? In other words, the second animal that you're leaving in the pit, I can just feed it for the entire yontif, and then I can just, you know, shecht it, you know, the next day. So because there's a possibility of saving this animal where I don't need to just leave it there and let it starve, so that's the best option. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is basically saying, if you don't need to resort to harama, then don't resort to harama. Whereas in the case of the wine, if you don't salvage the wine right now, and you're having another 10 guests coming over, then you have no chance of ever salvaging that wine ever again. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "V'ad kan lo kama Rabbi Hoshua asam mishum diikat tsar bali chayim." Avlocha diikat tsar bali chayim. On the other hand, you can argue that in the case of the animals of Osovias Bino, you have another factor at play, which is tsar bali chayim. Right? You have the animal. Right? If you leave that second animal in the pit for the entire day of Yontif, it's gonna cause a lot of tsar to the animal, a lot of pain to the animal. So one could argue that maybe tsar bali chayim is enough of a reason to save that second animal, whereas in the case of the wine, obviously that factor does not apply. So the Gemara says that you can't, in other words, you can't really draw any conclusions from this comparison, because it's possible that maybe Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua would not necessarily, you know, hold fast to their opinions by Osovia Spino in the case of the wine, again, because maybe there were these unique reasons why they said what they said in the case of the animal, either because of tsar bali chayim, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, or because of the fact that I'm able to sustain the animal while it's in the pit. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbanan. Hitzel pas nikia.
Haven't we learned about harama when we, if I remember correctly, like they can cook a certain amount, you know, on, I don't remember, it was Yontif, that they can have guests over, so you can do it so...
It's a similar idea. There are cases where we do allow harama. I don't recall if it's like a one uniform halacha across the board if we always allow harama. There are definitely examples, like for example in Seder Kadshim, there were cases where harama was used regarding karbanos, regarding things of that nature. So there definitely are cases where harama is mentioned. We actually mentioned in back in Brachos, we had a case of harama where if a person wants to bring produce into his house, but he doesn't want to separate trumos and maestros from it yet, he could pretend like he's bringing it as animal food. There are cases where harama is allowed. So, what was that? Yeah, he has to bring it, right, correct. Right, yeah, or through his, like, through the roof or through the gate, yeah. Yeah.
Regarding the barrel of wine, is that harama mutar?
In the case of, again, so that was the machlokas and the Gemara. I mean, usually we follow the chachamim over a das yachid. So I would assume it's probably problematic. I didn't look in the Shulchan Aruch, so I don't know.
No, this is not a chachamim. It's both das yachid. It's Rabbi
Yoshua. No. Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Eliezer is the case of Osovias Bino. The case of the wine is the Tanakama, which is usually the chachamim against Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. So I mean, again, I don't know who the Tanakama was. The Tanakama could have been a das yachid, but usually the Tanakama are the chachamim. So I don't.
Stack up against Shabbos.
That's the million-dollar question. That question is not just about tzar bali chayim. That question is about a lot of different. Well, first of all, there's a general question about whether tzar bali chayim is do rice or do rabbanan. That's a big question in general. But these types of issues at play here, you know, about when you have tzar bali chayim versus something else. The question is, how do you deal with that? So again, if you assume that tzar bali chayim was only do rabbanan, then this issue would be a lot easier to resolve, right? Because, you know, if it's only do rabbanan, so usually we could be pretty mako. If you thought tzar bali chayim was do raisa, so then already you would have to start, in other words, if tzar bali chayim was going up against the do raisa, then you would have to start kind of weighing in, you know, your options and figuring out what was more important, what was not. Yaakov, you had a question?
Yeah. Halacha lemaase, you're allowed to do harama with the wine.
For the wine? I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean,
no, it's a Rambam. It's in the notes.
The Rambam says that it's mutter?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the wine.
Okay, so...
Because, you know what I think the logic is?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
If he's thinking about the Rama saving the wine, he'll certainly be thinking about not moving any utensils for a Shudara.
Yeah, that could be. That could be. That's possible, yeah. The Gemara doesn't spell that out, but that's very possible, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara now continues. Tana Rabbanan, Hitzel pas nekia, ein matzel pas hadra, matzel pas nekia, umatzilin miyom ha-kipurim l'shabes, avalo mishabes liyom ha-kipurim, vein tzorech lomar mishabes liyantif, alo mishabes l'shabes haba. Comes the Gemara and says that if a person has already salvaged from the fire good quality bread, you know, very high quality wheat bread or, white bread, then you're not allowed to go back and save this much more coarse type of bread that's much lower quality. But if at first you salvage the lower quality bread, then you would be allowed to go back and salvage the higher quality bread. Also, the Gemara says that I am allowed to save things in my house on Yom Kippur for Shabbos, but not on Shabbos for Yom Kippur. And also, I can't save something on Shabbos for Yontif or on Shabbos for next Shabbos. So in other words, you can basically only salvage something on Shabbos if you're going to use it on Shabbos itself, on that Shabbos itself. Tanu Rabbanan, Shachach pas betan revekide shalav hayom, matzilin mazon shalosh sudos, v'omer la'achirim bo v'hitzilu lachem, uchshehu rode lo yirode b'marde ela besakin. So comes the Gemara and says, let's say a person forgot their dough, their bread in the oven as Shabbos began. Right, so now they want to, basically salvage their dough that's in the oven, and also a fire breaks out. So now they are allowed to save enough food for three meals, and they should tell other people who are going to come help them salvage the stuff from their house because the fire broke out. He has to say to them, "Bohu v'hatzilu lachem, you come and take for yourself." Now, why does he have to say v'hatzilu lachem? So we'll see a little bit later in the perek, because if the guy explicitly says to all the onlookers who are trying to help him save his stuff, you know, please help me save my stuff, that's already going to be problematic because maybe they're going to be less incentivized to want to help if they don't get anything out of it. So the guy says, come and save for yourself. He's almost like incentivizing them. He said, listen, if you help me save my stuff, I'll give you something. So the people, have more of an incentive to want to come and help him. And when the guy wants to now peel the dough out of the oven, so he can't use what's called a marde. Marde is basically those pizza, like the pizza things that they use to throw to put the pizza in and out of the oven. I don't know what the word for that is. Is there an English word for it? Like the thing that like slides the dough into the paddle. Oven and takes it out. Yeah, exactly. The paddle. Yeah. So in other words, you can't use like this formal like dough paddle that's used to peel the dough off the side of the oven. You have to use a knife because this is a process called redias hapas. Redias hapas. Sometimes the Gemara, they used to basically stick the dough on the side of the oven. They would use these paddles to peel them off of the oven. That was a problem. So if you wanted to do that on Shabbos, if you forgot your dough in the oven, Shabbos started 10 minutes ago, instead of using the paddle, you have to use a knife to removed. So the Gemara asks, "Ini, is that really true?" V'hatana devei Rabbi Yishmael lo sasa kol malacha yotzat ki ha-shofar u'rediyas ha-pas shehi chachma ve'ina malacha. The Gemara says, "But hang on one second. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos, and the Gemara explicitly says that there are two things that are not included in the term malacha. One is tki ha-shofar, and the other is our Gemara is rediyas ha-pas, is peeling the dough off of the oven. So then what exactly are they if they're not malacha?" The Gemara says that they're merely called a chachma. They're just considered to be forms of wisdom. Figuring out how to peel dough off of an oven or figuring out how to blow shofar is more like a craft. It's more like requires some knowledge, some intelligence, as opposed to just saying it's a technical malacha. So the question is then why do I have to use a knife? In other words, why can't I just use a paddle to peel the dough off? So the Gemara says no, because kama de'efshar l'shanu yemeshanin. And even though yes, technically redias hapas is not really a malacha, it's a chachma, but still, if you're able to do a shinui, if you're able to change something, it's always better to try and do a shinui wherever possible in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, La'olam yashkim adam lahotzah as Shabbos, shenemar v'hayov ayom ha-shishi v'heichinu eis asher yaviyu la'alter. The Gemara says that a person should try to wake up early in the morning on Friday morning to go and do their shopping for Shabbos. You should try to make sure that you're ready to go for Shabbos, you know, as early in the day as possible. How do we know that from the Pasuk? Because it says on the sixth day, on Friday, v'heichinu eis asher yaviyu. They were already getting ready to prepare all the stuff they had gotten, meaning to say that they were getting ready right away. In other words, right as Friday morning was beginning, they were already getting ready for Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Abba, b'Shabbos chayav adam levtzoa al shtei kikaros dechsiv lechem mishnah. This is the famous din of lechem mishnah, that there's a requirement of lechem mishnah on Shabbos. Whether there's also a requirement of lechem mishnah on yontif is a big machlokas rishonim, which this gemara does not really address, but is addressed in other gemaras. We tend to assume that we, in other words, we try to be machmir for lechem mishnah on yontif also. The issue about whether you also require lechem mishnah on yontif basically depends on whether you believe that the man also fell on yontif, or whether the man, like by Shabbos, fell, let's say, in double portions an erev yontif. So that's actually a machlokas between two different midrashim that Tosos and Pesachim quotes about this issue. So again, we tend to be machmir. There's also a further question about whether you require lechem mishnah for shalosh shudis. We also typically assume that, again, we try to be machmir for that as well. So basically, there's a requirement of lechem mishnah. You have to have two, in other words, you have to make hamotzi on two loaves of bread. Amar Rav Ashi, chazina leil Rav Kahana, denaka tarti uvatzachada, Amar Likduksiv. So Rav Kahana, he would hold two loaves of bread, but he would only actually eat and break off one of them, because all the Torah says that you need Lecha Mishnah for is the process of liktu, of gathering the mun. That required two loaves of bread, but the actual eating of the bread, so Rav Kahana says, you only have to eat one, which is obviously what we do. We don't insist that you have to eat both challahs or both matzahs or whatever. You could just eat one. That's also good enough. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera have a butza akula sheruse. Rabbi Zera used to break off like a giant chunk of a bread, and that was basically, in other words, he would break off a chunk that he would basically use for his entire meal. So Amar le Ravina le Ravachi v'hamechse kirav senusa. So Ravina said to him, but it looks gluttonous. He says, how could you justify doing such a thing? You know, breaking off such a huge piece of bread. Amar le, he says, no. Kevon dechol yom lo avid v'ha'in nahu dekavid lo mechse kirav senusa. He says, because today on Shabbos is the only time that I do such a thing. It's only dafka on Shabbos that I break off this gigantic piece. So everyone realizes that I'm doing it specifically for Shabbos and not because I'm, acting out of gluttony. Fine. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi ki mikla luhu rifta de eruva sharu ilave amre hoa ve'esavid b'chada mitzvah lis'avid b'mitzvah acharina. So when Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were brought the bread or the matzah that was used for the eruv chatziros, they used to make a hamotzi on it. They would make a bracha on it because they said, once the bread has been used for one mitzvah, namely for eruv chatziros, let's use it for another mitzvah also to recite hamotzi on it. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Ketza nafla deleko. He said, what's the case? So we said that if a fire breaks out, so we had a machlokes about whether you can only save enough meals for, you know, basically for whatever point of Shabbat you're up to. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, you could just save, you know, basically enough meals for, in other words, you could basically save three meals regardless of where in Shabbat you're at. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kama sudos chayev adam lechol b'Shabbos, shalosh, Rabbi Chidka omer arba. We have a machlokes in the Gemara about how many meals a person is obligated to eat on Shabbos, which sounds strange to us because we just assume you always have to have three meals on Shabbos, right? That's, that's what we're used to hearing, which is the opinion of the Chachamim. Whereas, however, Rabbi Chidka happens to hold that you need to have four meals on Shabbos. So what's the sources for these two opinions? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei mikra echadarshu. Both opinions derive their shitos from the same pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas B'Shalach, Vayomer Moshe ichluhu hayom ki Shabbos hayom lahashem hayom lo simtzauhu basadeh. The Torah uses the word hayom three times. So Rabbi Chidka savar hanitlasa hayom levar meorta. For Rabbanan savrei bahade deorta. The machlokas basically is, how do you calculate those three hayoms? Are the hayoms only during the daytime? In other words, not including the night. That's Rabbi Chidka, meaning to say that you have to have four meals. Or no, maybe we say that the three hayoms include the night meal, like the Chachamim, which would mean that you only really have to have three meals throughout Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan, Nafla deleika belele Shabbos, Matzilin Mazon Gimel Sudos. My lav delo achal. Our Mishnah told us that if a fire breaks out on Friday night, you have to salvage enough food for three meals. So the Gemara says, doesn't that refer to a case where you did not yet eat your Friday night meal? And the fact that you only have to save enough food for three meals would imply that we hold it the Chachamim and not like Rabbi Chidka, that you only have to have three meals on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, it's not true, achal. Maybe the case is where you already ate your Friday night meal, and if the Mishnah is telling us to save three meals worth of food, even though you already ate your Friday night meal, that would seem to imply that we hold like Rabbi Chidka. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah Shachris Matzil and Muslim Chtei Sudos. Again, my love to Loachal. Where it says Lo Da'achal. Again, the same type of argument. So again, if it's the morning, we said you have to salvage food for two meals. So doesn't that mean that you already, you know, I'm sorry, doesn't that mean that you did not yet eat lunch? Then we says no. Maybe the case is where you already ate lunch and you're still saving enough food for two meals because maybe we hold like Rabbi Chidka. And then of course again, the Gemara says B'mincha Matzil and Muslim Sudachas. My love to Loachal. Lo Da'achal. Again, the same line of reasoning. Again, the Gemara says presumably the case is where you did not yet eat challah shudis. The Gemara says, no, maybe you already ate challah shudis, but again, if you hold like Rabbi Chidka, so then you would be justified in salvaging food for another meal as well anyway. So the Gemara now says, hang on a second, v'hami diktari seifa, Rabbi Yossi omer lo'ola matzilin mazun gimel sudos, michlal desanakama gimel svirale. So the fact that Rabbi Yossi at the end of the Mishnah says that you're always allowed to salvage three meals worth of food, no matter what time of day it is on Shabbos, so the implication is that the Tanakama is going to also subscribe to three meals, meaning, again, Rabbi Yossi's only argument in the Mishnah is the fact that he doesn't really give any sort of credence to what time of day, because he says you always have to salvage three meals worth of food, which implies that everyone accepts that as the baseline. Everyone agrees that three meals are the amount of meals you have to have on Shabbos. The only question is, do we start breaking down what point of Shabbos you're up to determine how many meals to save? So it sounds like Rabbi Chidka's opinion seems to be completely rejected from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela machvarta masnis and delo kara. Rabbi Chidka, it must mean, therefore, the Gemara says, that our Mishnah clearly does not conform with Rabbi Chidka's position. Because the very fact that Rabbi Yossi says, save three meals, implies that everyone accepts three meals as the baseline. The only question is, do we have to start, you know, analyzing, is it Friday night? Is it Shabbos day? Do we have to, you know, do we have to care about that? But it seems like everyone in the Mishnah is accepting this premise that you have to have three meals on Shabbos. And of course, Rabbi Chidka does not accept that premise. So therefore, it sounds like Rabbi Chidka is going to be rejected from the Mishnah. Okay, so we'll stop here.